right. Thank you, choir and orchestra, and also our praise band. Last night, our choir and orchestra led an excellent worship service up here at 6. And mark your calendar for next Sunday at 7 p.m., and our praise band will be leading another Christmas service for us. If you take your Bible and turn to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, I want to share a message entitled God's Gift for You. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is the real meaning of Christmas? Can somebody tell me what Christmas is all about? I am quoting that famous theologian, Charlie Brown, at the end of A Charlie Brown's Christmas. If you recall, Charlie Brown was down and depressed. He just didn't see the meaning of all this. And so Lucy, a typical female, was full of advice, whether you wanted her advice or not. So she told him what might help you not be so depressed at this time of the year is, Charlie, if you will just direct the school Christmas play. And that just heaped more depression upon him, because you'll remember everybody made fun of his pitiful Christmas tree. Christmas is about God's gift to you and me. Talked to a lady earlier this year in our community, and she said, we're distressed where we go to church. I said, well, where you go to church, you shouldn't be distressed. She said, our pastor refuses to use the name Christ in his sermons, and he's forbidden for us to use the name Christ while we're on church property. Some people say, well, the church left me. I didn't leave the church. I'd leave that church before the church knew I was gone. Listen, someone wrote, Jesus' name is a delightful name. His name is a delivering name. His name is a dazzling name. His name is a decisive name. His name is a dear name. His name is a durable name. We look at verses 1 and 2. We notice there that God gave us Jesus because he is unequal. Notice here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The term unequal there means that that person is unmatched. One thing for sure, when Jesus began his physical earthly life, it was not his beginning. You remember what we find in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. It's no wonder that his birth was witnessed by angels. It's no wonder that his birth was witnessed by the stars. And then his birth changed lives, and his deity surrounded and enclosed him by human flesh. Nothing has ever affected human beings in all the history of man more than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said Christ is the dominating and most outstanding character of time and eternity, because he is what it's all about. We think about the birth of Christ. We think about the shepherds. We think about the wise men, Mary, Joseph, the angels, and a host of other things. But in the very center of it all is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just want to write this down to the side. It's not in your outline. You notice that Jesus is the unique word in John 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing that was made that was made. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice this next thing you want to just write there is that He is the unique light. In verses 4 through 9 in John chapter 1, it says, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He is the true original light from which all other light came. Write this down. He is the unique Son of God. In John 1, 15 through 18, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spoke. He comes after me, preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. In John chapter 1, verse 34, And I saw, and I bear record, This is the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. When you go looking through the New Testament, you'll find that seven different people called Jesus the Son of God. You'll find John the Baptist that I just read for you. You'll find Nathanael. You'll find that Peter called Him the Son of God. Martha called Him the Son of God. The healed blind man, Thomas, and the apostle John all declared that Jesus is the Son of God. Now notice here that Jesus was known as the Son of God. He was also known by the miracles that He performed. Some of you remember Cecil B. DeMille's epic, The Ten Commandments, that was re-released on Blu-ray back in March of 2020. You'll remember this particular outstanding movie was casting there Moses as who? Charlton Heston. Now, why did Charlton Heston get the part of Moses? Well, DeMille's had seen Michelangelo's statue of Moses, and he said, I know exactly who that be. Can you imagine if somebody saw a statue and said that reminded them of you and they wanted to cast you for the lead part in a movie? Mine would be about world hunger, I guess. But anyway, that's why he cast him. And then, you know, the voice of God in the burning bush scene. Who was that? It was Charlton Heston. It was his voice. And then when you see baby Moses in that movie, that was Charlton Heston's little 3-year-old son, Frazier. The movie won an Oscar for its special effects. And one of the greatest effects is when they tried to create a miracle, the parting of the Red Sea. So DeMille said, what we did was he said, we got these big tanks, one on one side of dry land and one on the other side. And he said, we added gelatin into the tanks. And then we took water and filled up those tanks. 350,000 gallons of water on each side of that dry place. And so he said, the way we did this is, he said, we showed it in reverse. And then we could reverse it again. And then when we put it on the movie, he said, it appeared that the Red Sea was really parting. You know, we can make up a miracle, but God can do miracles in forward and reverse on His own. The main thrust of the four Gospels are these in presenting the uniqueness of Christ. If you turn to Matthew, I remember I had to take a whole course in Matthew in seminary. Matthew presents Jesus as the sovereign king. If you turn to Mark, he is revealed there as a servant. When you turn to Luke, you'll see that he's the Son of Man. And when you turn to John, he is the Son of God. So we move on here and look at Jesus. And the only conclusion a sane, sensible-minded person can come to is that Jesus existed before any matter, before anything that occupied space and had weight. Christ is before it all. The next thing I want you to write down is this: God gave us Jesus because he's precious. If you look at John 1, verses 3 through 6, he's precious, he's beloved, he's dear, he is exceptional, extraordinary. The Father gave us Jesus because of his special existence. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now notice there, Word is capitalized because Word there stands for Christ. He existed in the beginning. He is the Word. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, 9, he said, God who created all things by Christ. Jesus is the agent of creation. Colossians 1, 16 through 17 tells us, for by him were all things created. They're in heaven, they're in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things, and all things consist. Listen to Revelation chapter 1:18. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty, Jesus said, I am the beginning and I am the ending. The next thing I want you to see are the credentials of Jesus. Notice his special credentials. Now, when you read John chapter 1, verse 1, we find that Jesus is the Word. The Jehovah's Witnesses have their own translation of the Bible. And I want you to know that it is 100% incorrect. Here's how they phrased this in the New World Translation. They said, and the Word was a God. They believe in polytheism. Jesus is the one and only God. You don't get to pick and choose. So stay away from the Jehovah's Witness teaching, because their Christ is one that is less than God. He says, and God was the Word. Whoever the Word John is speaking of is God. It's unmistakably Christ. He is God, as predicted by the prophets. Isaiah 9, 6, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is God, interpreted by the epistles. He's present in the epistles as the Creator to sustain all things. He is God, as experienced by the Christian. I know he is God because of what he's done in my own personal life. Sometimes when one of your loved ones becomes ill, they have to be taken into ICU. And you know, that's a traumatic thing for that family member who's sick, but it's also traumatic for those of you who have to go into an ICU unit and you've never been there before. There are all kinds of machines, all kinds of digital gauges. There's all kinds of alarms going off. But I think it's worse on everybody when your loved one has to be put on a respirator. Now, a respirator does the breathing for you. If you ever have to have a respirator put in you, the best thing to do is cooperate with it. You probably cooperate better with morphine on board first, but you want to cooperate with it. You don't want to fight it. Because what the doctor's trying to do, if your lungs are just tired, he's trying to give the lungs some rest, and that machine will do the work for you. But as you begin to breathe more on your own, they turn that respirator back further and further until finally it's removed and you breathe on your own. Well, listen, Christ wants to express his life through us. And that's why we talk about living a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, spirit-led life. He wants his life to be lived through us, so we've got to yield ourselves to the person of Christ. And notice what else God gave us Christ: because of his power, because of his omnipotence. All things were made by him. You know, only God could take dust and breathe in it the breath of life, and that dust become a man. He's the only one. He's a living soul. Have you noticed most of the time when you buy something in a department store, it says made in Japan, made in China? I'm looking at more and more things that say made in the USA. But be careful when you're reading those little tags. Lots of times it says assembled in the USA. That means it wasn't made here at all. Well, listen to this. Everything around us, above us, below us, everything has the label of God upon it. It was all made by and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can make some things. We produce some things. But we have to make it out of material that already exists. You know, I'm so tired of people teaching the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution, you know what a theory is? That's a best guess. I'm tired of people teaching the theory of evolution in our schools. We'll never be able to do anything about it. You know what the theory of evolution really says? Let me just give you a good illustration of it. The theory of evolution says that I've got this watch, and I just took all the pieces out of it, and I put them up here on the screens for it. There's the pieces to my watch. And you know what the theory of evolution teaches? That I can take all those parts in my hand and throw them up in the air, and when they come down, every part's going to be in its perfect position, and my watch is keeping time. That's how stupid the theory of evolution really is. God can make a bush burn out of which to call Moses simply by the command of his word. He didn't have to have a match or rub two sticks together. The one lying in Bethlehem's manger before Joseph and Mary some 2,000 years ago was the only one who created everything that existed. Christ did for a while lay aside the independent exercise of some of his powers, but in his 33 plus years of earthly ministry, he unleashed many of those for man to observe. And then notice God gave us Jesus to give us life. John chapter 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We have life because someone gave us life through the union of a man and a woman. No one had to give Jesus his life or his existence because he has life in himself. Listen to John 5:26. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So his life is one that begets life in another being. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son does not have life. You know, the reason Jesus could command Lazarus to come forth was because Jesus had life in himself, and he has the power over life and death. To have Jesus is to have life. Some folks think they're really living out here, and when they're living without the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't even know what real life is all about. I was reading the other day, Tony Evans said when his children were small, he said, we used to always wrap very eloquent wrapping paper gifts for our children. On Christmas morning, he said it was pandemonium. He said our kids would rush into the living room around the tree, and they would tear the presents open, and all of you can relate to that, and the wrapping paper is knee high. But he said, I remember this one specific Christmas that one of my sons opened all of his packages, and he looked up and screamed, is this all there is to it? Some people have to be wondering that at Christmas if they don't know Jesus. Christ came so that we might be made spiritually alive. Then God gave us Jesus because of special love. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So the Father gave us Jesus because of His special love. He said He was made flesh to dwell among us. Why did He take on humanity? Why did the incarnation take place? Did Jesus need to learn something about being a man in the flesh, walking on this earth? Absolutely not. It was love that brought Him down because He knew our problem with sin. It was love that kept Him on the cross because He could have called a legion of angels to rescue Him. It was love that caused Him to rise from the grave because He wanted us also to spend eternity in heaven with Him. So Christ's birth, incarnation, the death and resurrection all tell us that God loves us, didn't stand back and do nothing, and when we were on our way to hell, fallen, depraved, and sick, out of His love, He came for us. And notice what else He says in John 1:11-12 about His special proposition. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. You know, this is a day when people want to just get something for nothing. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of you always fill out the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes? Anybody raising their hand here? Have you known anybody that the sweepstakes squad showed up and gave them about $10 million? Have you known anybody like that? That they exist somewhere. You know, people want something for nothing. I felt so bad last week. Delaney told me last weekend to take some clothes. She had some nice clothes that just don't fit anymore. Ladies, you know, when your clothes just don't fit, you've gotten too small for them, then you give them away. And she had bags of clothes cleaned and neatly in bags, and so I went out to her trunk and I loaded them in there. Well, I knew Monday morning that she was going to go to Publix and to the pharmacy and some other places, and she was going by Salvation Army to the drive-thru. So I was being a good husband. Every time we go to the grocery store, we always carry a cooler with us, not six-pack. That's not what that's for. That's in case we buy fish or some other things that are perishable and we have other places to stop. So I opened the trunk and I said, man, that thing's full of clothes. She does not want the cooler in the car because there might be dust on that cooler and it upsets her asthma. So I put it in the trunk, and when I put it in there, I said, you know, that's probably not a good place for this. So Monday morning, I came to work. About 11:30, I got a phone call. That hit perfect right there. Thank you. I got a phone call. It didn't sound like that, but it's close. And Delaney said, Phil, tell him I'll call him back. Phil, she said, I'm in trouble. Now, there's three different voice inflections for Phil, and I know this one's not good. And she said, I went to Publix and to the pharmacy and somewhere else and said, the last thing I did is I went by Salvation Army and they unloaded my trunk. And she said, I got home and she said, I reached in the trunk because I'd put tilapia and eggs and some things in there. And she said, my cooler's gone. I said, don't tell me that. She said, yep. She said, I need you to go down to Salvation Army and tell them you want our food and our cooler back. Poor Tom was going to lunch with me. I said, Tom, the first thing we got to go is the Salvation Army. He stayed in the car behind the tinted windows. I walked into the warehouse and I said, I've got a problem. And there were four guys and one lady. And I said, listen, my wife was here earlier and she dropped off clothes for y'all. And there was a blue and white cooler. The guy said, I know who you're talking about. I said, could I please have my cooler and the contents back? They had taken the eggs and the tilapia and put it out to the side. They had put the cooler back on a rack where they're going to sell it. And they took my ice packs and threw them in a trash can. So I said, well, I really want my ice packs back, and I want the food, and I want the cooler. But, you know, I felt like I was taking money away from, food away from homeless people. And so thanks to Ben Farah, I reached in my pocket, and I gave all five of them a Chick-fil-A card. And I guaranteed them that chicken tastes better when it's free. And I said, I want to thank you for being honest. But I hadn't gotten over that yet. I mean, how many times do you drop off at Salvation Army and then you take away? Only in my life. But I want to tell you something, guys. If you want to save your marriage, you do some things that you not normally would do on your own. Notice we want something for nothing. So Jesus has a special offer. He says, in him was life. Man's greatest need is eternal life. The offer of light. Look at verse 5. Light shines in darkness. Then sonship, as many as received him, to him that gave the power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe. The greatest offer I have ever had was to leave the devil's family and join the family of God. Now listen, the King of Heaven sent me an invitation by the Holy Spirit, and what a day when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. When he offers life, he'll give it. When he offers light, he will get it. And he will give it to you. It's amazing what Jesus can do. Because the Father gave us Jesus, he's unique. Because the Father gave us Jesus, he's special. Because the Father gave us Jesus, he is forever. I wish I could sing. You're better off that I can't sing, but I wish I could. Handel's Messiah says he shall what? Reign forever and ever. When you turn to Psalm 136, King David repeated one refrain 26 times. Here it is. The steadfast love of the Lord lives forever. In Psalm 23, David wrote these immortal words when he personalized with the pronoun I. I want you to know that word I, that's the first time it's used in the Bible. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isaiah the prophet says, his kingdom shall have no end, and he shall reign forever and ever. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And Jesus stated clearly to Martha when her brother Lazarus died, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die, but shall live forever. You know, forever is a big word. Forever is a triumphant word. Forever is a victorious word. How long is forever? It's forever. No end. Jesus shall reign forever. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, amen, and have the keys to hell and to death. There was a lady several years ago in Philadelphia, Christian lady, and she said that she was sort of having the blues during the holiday season leading up to Christmas. And she said every year her church got involved with a ministry for poor kids down on some of the main streets of Philadelphia. She said, I signed up and went down there. And she said, now here's how it goes. She said, we play a lot of games with the kids. We give away a lot of prizes. And she said, I decided to do this because I was asking God, God, would you just do something dynamic in my life this Christmas season, to make it come alive for me. And so she said, I went down that day, and she said, we were just overrun with kids. We were playing games and giving away candy and doing some other things. And she said, finally, one little boy, said probably 3 years old, just jumped up in her lap on the curb and laid down and went to sleep in her lap. And she said, the pastor got everybody to be quiet. It was pandemonium. He said, if you'll listen to the Christmas story and the plan of salvation, I'm going to give out quiet gifts. Well, Becky was there on the curve with a little boy she didn't know asleep on her lap. And a little girl that was 5 years old named Erica came up and just stood and looked up at Miss Becky, and then she would look at the preacher and she stayed quiet. Preacher finished sharing the Christmas story and the gospel. They were giving out the quiet gifts. I doubt they had to give out many of those, but Erica stayed quiet. So she got a wrapped quiet gift. And while the other kids out on the street were ripping the wrapping paper off and getting into the gifts, she just kept that gift in her hands and didn't touch the wrapping paper. Well, Becky wondered, what in the world is this girl doing? Everybody else excited about getting a gift. And Erica looked around at Becky, and here's what she said. She said, I finally have a gift to give to my little brother who's asleep in your lap. What is the incarnation and Christmas all about? It's God providing a gift, the gift of his only son for you and me. Unique, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. The only one that could come and live a perfect life and shed his blood on the cross to pay for your salvation and for mine. Just leave you with this thought. Our Heavenly Father gave his only son. He gave his all for you and me. What have you and I given to him? Let's stand right now, right where you are. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. And I pray that there's someone here who's never received the most important gift that's ever been given, the day will be the day of salvation. All you need to do is believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay the penalty for your and my sins. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. All you got to do is invite Jesus. Repent of your sins and invite Christ into your heart. Some of you have already made that decision. You need to make it public. Be a candidate for baptism, church membership. There's some of you here. They're thinking about this gift that God gave us. Listen, we can't earn our salvation, but I'm going to tell you something. He expects us to live a surrendered life under his lordship so that his life is lived through us in kingdom work so that we can get the gospel to as many people as possible. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home and you've been our guest for a while, you've been praying about it, and God's given you peace. We invite you to come today as well. We want to thank you, Lord, for the Christmas story in the Gospel of John. May we carry that in our hearts as we meet with family members, friends, and total strangers who need a personal relationship with the Father through the Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to give an invitation. Those of you over in the Family Life Center, Richard and is coming forward along with the praise band. If you need to make a decision, you come forward as they begin to play. And if you're uncomfortable doing that, we ask that you go to the Connect desk at the east end of the building after the service and meet with Richard. Ted's joining me here at the front. If you need to make a decision here in the traditional service, we invite you to come. Uncomfortable doing that. If you'll just meet us at the Welcome Center desk after the service, we'll be glad to meet with you. If you're watching us on your electronic device and you need prayer or need to know more about how to be saved, just call 706-234-1841. Leave a message and a staff member will get back to you as soon as possible. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to our heart.